Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, live on this Friday, May 10th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stensland with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. What an action-packed Friday show we have in store for you today on a morning in which Donald Trump, yes,
who?
The real, the one, the only, Mr. President Donald J. Trump at 8:30 this morning, and then since he can't talk about the Stormy Daniels case and the gag order, we will talk to Sean Farish at 9 o'clock, who can talk about the gag order. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. We have a lot of breaking news as well this morning.
Yes, we do. Gregory, how are you?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm more excited for. Trump or Trump's rebuttal to Trump.
Yes. Or the breaking news that is happening in our city right now, which we will get to in just one moment with Dawn Stensland and the news. We have so much to get to this morning. As we mentioned, Donald J. Trump at 8:30, Sean Farish at 9. Cut sheet absolutely loaded. We've got a big take on Hillary, Hitler, hypocrisy and democracy. Nikki Haley back in the news again. Stormy Daniels, her credibility takes another hit. And woke eventually will devour woke as BLM is now suing pro-Palestinian protesters. It's a story you can't make up. And also another false blackface accusation and a big payday that comes to the couple of Utes that were falsely accused of wearing blackface.
Oh, you mean another one of these hoaxes that went...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The rush to judgment, yep, and accuse people of being racist, only to find out that it wasn't blackface. It was an acne mask. You know, because kids have pimples. We'll get to that coming up this morning. But let's get to the news. We have a lot of it and breaking developments here in the city of Philadelphia for all of that and more. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. We are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. 51 degrees, cloudy. And what a wake-up call for those protesters at the University of Pennsylvania campus amid heightened calls for this more than two-week anti-Israel encampment on the Ivy League campus in Philadelphia here to disband. So what's happening here this morning is that we saw this large group of police dressed in riot gear. In other words, the dark riot gear with the helmet, the clear facial shield, holding their batons out in front of them. They were lined up this morning. Within the last, I'll say, 10 minutes or so, they started on the march through the campus, and they are on the move right now. We see some of the students at this large encampment, more than 100. It actually has grown this week. They are now on the move. So yeah. Some of them picking up their tents. They're just kind of wiping their eyes a little sleepy-eyed because they were all sleepy.
Wake rise up! Tide, let's go!
Come on!
Let's go! Even the police starting to say.
We start at 6 a.m.!
Get out.
Wow.
You know, had I thought of it, yeah, we should have gone live, right? Our whole show loud and live.
Yes.
Right. Just in the middle of the encampment.
Blasted it right through the encampment.
Yeah, started a little earlier, maybe start at 5 a.m. for a week.
Just imagine those little punks hearing me say, and away we go? Yeah.
So this is a large number of officers. I don't have the exact count, but they also brought a lot of media with them and notified in bringing photographers themselves, videographers, all in this area. So very large police presence here. And this is after weeks and weeks of being told to disband, these protesters refusing to leave. Yesterday, they said talks had broken down and no, they were not going to leave, insisting that the university disclose all of its investments, divest and cut ties with businesses locally and nationally that support Israel.
They all have masks on.
I know.
They should. Not like the masks to hide their face. They're wearing like COVID masks.
Uh-huh. They should all be ripped off and have their heads. If I'm the officers, we grab you by the back of your hair and we pull your head up a little bit and say, smile for the cameras as we take your mask off.
And so as well, I should point out that more and more we see students going to the campus talking about Israel, talking about how many hostages are still somewhere. You know, many are presumed dead, or we fear that they're dead, but that there are still five Americans among the hostages. I'm talking about somewhere in Gaza. And this as well as Pennsylvania governor yesterday weighed in, saying it's past time for the university to act to address this, to disband this encampment and restore order and safety on campus. Shapiro calling the situation at Penn unstable and unacceptable.
Yep. And uncivilized.
Yes. So, you know, those were the strongest words we've heard from leadership. We haven't heard that strong of language, I don't think, from President Joe Biden, unless maybe Anthony has that audio in the back of Biden saying the same. So I think that this was welcome, in fact, by a lot of Penn students, especially our Jewish students there. So there are some holding their flags and they say that they're holding strong. But this is a strong, intimidating police force that has moved in this morning.
I love it. Forget from the river to the sea. In the last couple of days in Philadelphia, we've gone from Kensington to UPenn. The camps are going away now. I love it.
Yeah, and it's also supposed to be a rainy, colder day today. The high just 55 degrees.
Well, they have a nice warm prison to sit in.
Oh, boy. Man.
So we'll continue to follow this and watch this carefully.
Who's going to clean up that mess, by the way?
I think Phil and Anthony.
Send them out. Everything else.
As soon as the show wraps up, send them out. Yeah. They'll be out there by noon.
Look at the police are in riot gear. Yes. They have their whole
shields
up and everything. Wow.
Yeah. Channel 10 if you're at home watching your television and if you want to turn it on, NBC 10.
Yeah, and I think 6 is there now. Initially, I believe our sister station, KYW News Radio, kudos to them. They actually had a reporter on the scene, so they knew something was happening about an hour ago, and they were on the ground. The stations had choppers up, and that's why we could see those police, moving. They were walking through.
Yep.
They're on foot, obviously.
Are you guys watching Channel 10 right?
Yeah.
Look at the three protesters sitting there.
Trying to remove these protesters who are linked arm in arm and who are chanting. Their chants are getting louder now that the police are physically upon them. They were told minutes ago, you will be arrested for trespassing if you do not leave. Disperse this area. You don't have to leave with your belongings.
Now they're jacking up a guy with a bike helmet.
Race out of this area, running with their belongings, putting them in rolling bins. But the large majority of protesters have remained. One of them told me they will hold their ground. They will escalate.
That's what they've been trained to do.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, we're told Philadelphia's police commissioner is here on the scene. I do not see him. I was told that in my ear by our producer. There's just so much going on. So if I do see him, I will try and talk with him. But right now, we really can't take our cameras off of.
It sounds like right now.
There you go.
I didn't have this on my bingo card.
No, I love how the three girls that are sitting there arm in arm and locked together as if they're intimidating. They're gonna escalate. All three of them look like they haven't been outside since 2019. Bad haircuts, ugly glasses.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they're TikTok sensations.
Yeah. What
just,
they...
just a little TV inside stuff. So 6ABC has the commissioner.
Okay.
And so that's the producer has all the monitors up. So a Greg Stocker boss is in the ear of the reporter at NBC 10 saying, 6ABC has the commissioner.
Yes.
Go get the commissioner
get
now.
To the commish. Cut to the commish. Commish cam.
You're fearful for your job. Because it's a little competitive if you don't have... But the commissioner's on scene, and it looks like they are. Are they making some arrests? Because now I'm watching.
Yeah, they're trying to get him. It looks like they're trying to get him from the. They're in front of like a statue or something.
Of course they are. Yeah.
That's the Ben Franklin statue. That's where the encampment is. Yeah. That's the one that had graffiti all over it.
Yeah, they defaced that one.
They were accused of graffiti.
Yep.
So it's over. They've been ordered to disband.
Yep. Go home.
But, you know what's funny is that last Thursday, Nick, when you weren't here and Tony Bruno sat in, it is when the Columbia thing happened. So we were sitting here just watching.
Uh-huh.
This is like a kindergarten class compared to that one.
Oh yeah. Yeah, these are real threats. The cops could scoop up these little punks in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have choppers overhead, the news choppers overhead, but the nice piece of this, it was a brutal wake-up call for them, you know, with the cops, the media, the bright lights of the TV cameras, the help, actually, the loud choppers overhead. So that what did that wake up? Not away we go. It's wake up and put your COVID mask on.
Yeah, put your mask on, and as the 45th president of the United States would say,
go home to your mom.
So, by the way, there was a shooting in Southwest Philadelphia last night. One man killed, two others injured, including this young girl, 61st and Passyunk Avenue. So Chief Inspector Scott Small talking about this 23-year-old young man found shot to death inside a Chevy Malibu on 28th Street, which is the South Philadelphia side.
Yeah, by the way, these cops have so much more important things
to do than this crap.
Like, seriously, there's the... We have a lawless city with people shooting each other, and they're worried about taking these punks away.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah, including, like I said, you know, there are young kids sometimes in danger, just as in that Southwest Philadelphia situation. Man. So we're going to talk about that as well. There is so much news today, but we'll focus on the UPenn. It looks like ongoing arrests as they are trying to get this group to disband. So we'll be talking about it all morning, and we're all over it for you for sure. I want to get to the forecast, which is a chilly, rainy, unusual one, and we're below average for our temperature right now. Yeah, they're starting to make the arrests. So now we're looking at multiple arrests.
Yeah. Are any of these students immune compromised?
They all were, right?
Are they hungry?
We're all immune compromised.
I'm malnourished. Send water and pizza.
I noticed they're zip tying them.
Good.
So I don't know. See, if I'm a police officer, because you have so many, you know, you don't want to waste your cuffs on these guys.
Right.
Right. So zip tie them.
You only get so many cuffs. You can get 100 zip ties in a bag at Walmart. Like $9.99.
Save the cuffs for the real criminals. These guys can get zip tied.
Yeah.
So we have 53 degrees right now, cloudy, drizzly, kind of a raw, rainy day most of the day today. And it looks like, unfortunately, for Mother's Day, not a great weekend, not a washout, but sprinkles throughout. And tomorrow, we're not even making 70 this weekend.
Ugh.
We're in the low to mid-60s.
Can we have a nice weekend, please?
Yeah,
seriously?
Just, I know. Yeah, we'll go from 53 to 88 in droughts.
Who do you think these kids have to... They have to call their parents, right?
To come bail them
out. If that was my child, I just wouldn't answer the phone. I'd forward you a voicemail.
Johnny, is that you on Channel 10 right now? Okay, well, then... You're just going to stay there.
Pay your own tuition now. You've embarrassed our family.
You're right. It's not a bad thought to just let them percolate a little in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the holding area.
I totally agree.
Let that happen.
There's no doubt these kids would be scared to death in jail. They freak out when the internet goes down.
Oh, my God. The problem, I think, well, the good part of this is now that they're arresting people and then they will process them, we will find out how many of these students compared to other universities are actually current students.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that from what I see right here, it does look like there are a lot of students.
Yes. They don't look like 30-year-old paid professional orchestrated protesters.
Let's talk about our sponsor, Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon.
They're going to need that.
Spa day for the youths.
Spa day for the police officers.
Yeah. Hell yes.
These people haven't had a shower in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
By the way, it's Friday before Mother's Day, so if you're waiting, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Come on.
Thank you.
Just get your flowers, go to UPS, put them in a box.
It's the best. But this is the true secret to spoiling the moms and grandmoms, yes, your wives, in your life this spring. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available, josephanthony.com. This is a live breaking Kale & Company News Live.
Thank you very much, Dawn. We will certainly get back to this story that is unfolding at UPenn in a little bit, but it's time for one last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Bounce Back Physical Therapy. The Big Take: Hillary, Hitler, hypocrisy, and democracy. We've been telling you for months that it's all hands on deck for the Democrats when it comes to stopping Donald Trump from returning to the White House. From Kamala Harris's abortion tour 2024, to Barack Obama, to Michelle Obama, to Bill Clinton, and of course, the woman Donald Trump defeated in 2016, Hillary Clinton. America's most bitter loser, who still cannot live with herself to this day that she lost to the outsider, is once again making the rounds, regurgitating her tired, bogus rhetoric, and I'm not sure that many common sense voters are buying the sales pitch. It's actually so hard to fathom that Hillary is still peddling the same fear that she's been recycling now for almost a decade. Donald Trump, threat to democracy. Donald Trump, Hitler. The hypocrisy is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. And we've lived through real threats to democracy here in America over the last 3.5 years, and we are witnessing the closest thing to Hitler and the Holocaust since October 7th, 2023. But none of it has to do with Donald Trump or Republicans. All of it has to do with Hamas, pro-Palestinian college protesters, hate speech, the far left, and the Biden administration. But never let facts get in the way of a good tale. And Hillary is telling her fables once again to anybody that will listen in the mainstream media. And Joe Biden, Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith, and countless other litigators trying to put Joe Biden's top political rival in jail. We are witnessing that as well in real time, live and in living color, playing out before our very eyes. But Hillary Clinton says Donald Trump is the man who will imprison political adversaries. Listen and watch this on MSNBC yesterday.
A determined demagogue, unfortunately supported by members of his political party, other enablers, people who care more about a future tax cut than the sanctity of the Constitution, are falling in line behind him. They are trying to excuse some of the most outrageous things that you just recited. And I don't think the press has done enough to basically say, okay, the circus is here. You can watch the circus, but let's tell you what that means. Let's talk to people who have a real understanding of how dictatorships evolve. Let's look at the people that he admires and what they've already done. You know, back in 2016, we didn't have interviews with him. We didn't have a track record of 4 years in office. You know, there was a lot of speculation, and, you know, I understood that people wouldn't take what I said necessarily as gospel about what I thought could happen. I get that. But now we know. We've seen him and we've heard him. And so we need to do a better job of making it absolutely clear that someone who says these things, you know, maybe he wouldn't jail all of his political opponents. One is one too many. Maybe he wouldn't try to force out of business the, you know, members of the press who didn't agree with him. One is one too many. We go down the line. And maybe this would be our last election, because someone who will not accept the validity of an election is someone who doesn't believe in elections. He believes in his own power, his own right to power, and his demand that he be installed regardless of whether he gets the votes or not.
Dictatorships, track record of 4 years, correct? Did Trump imprison any political adversaries? If he did, I must have missed it. And never forget, as Hillary and the far-left crazies keep saying, this could be the last election of our lifetime. If Trump wins, he's going to stay in office for the next 20 years until he's 98, and then he's going to pass the torch and hand off the baton to Barron once his son is 35 years old and eligible to be the president. It's just unbelievable. The other horrific story that we've been living through has been the anti-Semitism that is raging like an inferno across the campuses of America's universities. Progressives, Squad Dems, the Biden administration trying to play both sides and doing everything they can to condone Jewish hate speech and disguise it as free speech. But remember, everybody, Donald Trump is Hitler. So says Hillary Clinton. Listen and watch this on MSNBC.
The world has been here before. People did not take the kind of threats that we saw in the 1930s as seriously as they should, including American journalists. You know, people were taking it face value that, oh, this can be controlled. He may have said some outrageous things, but, you know, the institutions will hold. A determined demagogue, unfortunately supported by members of his political party, other enablers, people who care more about a future tax cut than the sanctity of the Constitution, are falling in line behind him. They are.
America, you better take Donald Trump seriously. He could be the Adolf Hitler of our time. And speaking of bodies and death counts, how many times has Donald Trump been brought up when somebody mysteriously dies? Compare that number of zero to every time somebody is killed and the Clintons are brought up. I rest my case. But you have to give the lamestream media credit for being so detached from reality that they can appear so stunned and bewildered on live television when Americans that are polled say that Joe Biden is the bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. Like this moment on MSNBC where the panelists are so shocked that Americans believe the big guy is a greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump is. Listen and watch this.
Another thing interesting in this polling was more independents said that they worry about President Biden weakening democracy than Trump, 53% to 42%. What do you make of this?
I find it shocking, honestly. I can't, you know, make sense of that number. I wish I could. I wish I had some really great insight to it. But I don't know if it's an outlier or not, because the other numbers with independents and Biden are going in the right direction. So that may be it. But also, just one thing I wanted to add on to what Basil said. You know, this trial's not on TV. You guys do a great job reporting what's happening. But if there aren't those images coming out of the courthouse, people feel like they know this story. We've heard about it for a long time, so it doesn't surprise me that they're not interested.
Oh, it's shocking. I can't make sense of it. I can't wrap my head around it. I can't comprehend. How can anybody think Joe Biden's the bigger threat? Again, we have lived both presidencies in real time. We can compare and contrast the differences. Donald Trump isn't censoring speech. Donald Trump and his administration were not pressuring big tech to take down left-wing opinions on social media. Donald Trump wasn't sending the IRS to Matt Taibbi's doorstep the day he's set to testify on the Twitter files. But Joe Biden is, and has, and will continue to do so. Here's further proof and more developments. Per Fox Business, the headline, damning report, leaked internal communications of executives from big tech companies, now shedding more light on the extent to which the Biden administration attempted to muzzle the platforms. A new House committee report published this week has revealed the following as House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan from Ohio's subpoena last year, tech giants like Google, Amazon, Apple, Meta, and Microsoft investigated regarding their communications with the federal government. Jordan said at the time that he wanted to, quote, understand how and to what extent the executive branch coerced and colluded with companies and other intermediaries to censor speech. The House Judiciary Committee's 800-page report titled The Censorship Industrial Complex, How Top Biden White House Officials Coerced Big Tech to Censor Americans, Censor True Information, and Critics of the Biden Administration included several instances where the platforms censored information relating to COVID-19 due to top-down pressure. The emails also revealed the Biden administration wanted to crack down on vaccine misinformation. While some executives were unwilling to cave to the pressure, other executives did give in to limit bigger issues. Big tech, as we know, has been altering their content moderation policies ever since 2021. You can read the full report and the full story of the findings at foxbusiness.com. And also, speaking of Facebook, per the New York Post, Facebook Oversight Board is set to rule on whether the phrase "from the river to the sea" is considered and deemed hate speech. And I'm guessing we all know how this will end and what conclusion they will arrive at. given Zuckerberg's history of one-sidism. But look, folks, it's real simple. We're inside of 6 months until the election. So buckle up. It's going to be more of the same old spewage and regurgitation of the same old tiring, inflammatory rhetoric. None of it remotely true. But all of it hysterically hypocritical. A lot of it coming from Hillary. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by Bounce Back Physical Therapy. If you suffer from chronic body pain, call Bounce Back Physical Therapy in Wayne, PA. Their team of licensed physical therapists create personalized therapy plans to get you feeling better in as few as just 3 visits. Visit bouncebackpt.com to schedule an appointment today. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe button. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, we're back after this on a big Friday. It's Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
The Knicks tonight plus 7. The Denver Nuggets tonight plus 4.5. Those are my picks for the NBA playoffs. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers 2 chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. All you have to do is place a same-game parlay on any playoff matchup, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. You can bet on everything from rebounds to assists, three-pointers, and more. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, President PA. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Calling on Blackwood to follow 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
Haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style and do you think?
It's Kale and Company, 6:30 on this wet, damp, chilly Friday. As we continue to follow the breaking and developing news here in Philadelphia, as police have now moved in on the pro-Palestinian encampment in University City at the University of Penn, as the camps and the tents are being disbanded. If you want to stay with us all morning, that would be beautiful, because we are going to be all over this. And Dawn has done a great job of breaking it down here in the news this morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, as we roll on Kale and Company this morning. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Cut sheet coming up 7:45. Donald Trump at 8:30. And, of course, our buddy Sean Farish coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get to Stormy Daniels. There's some Nikki Haley news that we'll get to. But we want to stay with some of the breaking news that's playing out here with the University of Penn. And Dawn, you mentioned earlier in the news this morning about Shapiro calling for the disbandment, and students need to be dealt with accordingly. So the story from the Inquirer is fascinating, and then also this unbelievable story of a guy from this story courtesy of Philly Mag that raised over $46,000 to annoy protesters at the University of Pennsylvania. Great work out of this guy. But just kind of tracking this here in real time, there's some people being handcuffed and escorted out. I'm not sure if you have any other details or what you're seeing, but another guy looks like he is living in a cave for the last month, hair all disheveled. Another guy wearing a mask. I love all these college kids outdoors wearing masks in 2024, probably not in fear of COVID, although maybe in fear of COVID, but they use that to conceal their identities.
So Penn has begun also this week, as they ordered them to disband. Governor Shapiro called on Penn to disband in his strongest statement yet, I will say, to say enough is enough. Graduation TikTok is coming up. And so they were ordered off.
Yep.
So we have bike cops. We have all different law enforcement surrounding the area and you have a smaller group of these anti-Israel protesters. And again, Jewish students have repeatedly made complaints, petitioned the university, and petitioned and called police and said, we are not safe. We are being threatened. At this point, you have several students who are up on that Ben Franklin statue, which is pretty famous on the campus.
Sure.
So they have draped a, you know, Palestinian flag around the statue.
That's the first thing that should be yanked down. I want that yanked down immediately.
Yeah, it should be. And you're not allowed to climb up, to my knowledge, on these expensive historic statues, by the way.
Right.
So they've climbed up on the statue. And so you have police dressed in riot gear encircling them, and then wider bands. So the police have set up a perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an intimidating atmosphere, but I will say police are very professional. They're handling this perfectly, following all the protocols, which I think is a good thing. The commissioner on scene, but it's a definite show of force here.
And it's needed. I mean, they said, and you quoted, they will escalate. These protesters said that there will be escalation. I take that as a threat. I take them at face value that they will do it. I don't think they are a physical threat. I think most of these little punks would, you know, be, you could flick them with your middle finger and they would fall over and start crying. But the police are ready. We've seen people zip tied, handcuffed. I think I just saw one guy that was being carried out. Might be a girl. I can't tell. You got dyed pink hair. Now you have an officer that just ripped away the Palestine flag. And now he's grabbing one of the protesters by one of the scarves that he's wearing. He just yanked him off of the little ledge. So this is great. I love it. Get rid of these people. They've had enough. Fun and games are over. I thought Shapiro waited too long, but better late than never. And keep in mind, you know, Josh Shapiro's Jewish, so he can't be loving seeing this. He can't enjoy hearing from the river to the sea, which in my opinion is hate speech, because I think it really means the eradication of Jews. And, you know, people can debate whether or not that is hate speech. I deem it to be hate speech. And it's nice to see that this is finally happening. I'm sure there are other college campuses across the country that are still dealing with some of these camps to some degree and some of these tent pop-up situations, and they all need to go. I want them all out nationwide. There should be, if we had a strong leader and a strong president, I mean, if Donald Trump was in office right now, this thing would have been over. He would have been telling people, governors, mayors, university presidents, he would have been making threats to withdraw and withhold federal funding to these universities. And we've gone through the numbers. I mean, Columbia alone, $1.2 billion in 2023 in federal funding from the government to the university. The University of Penn, I think I quoted last week or earlier this week, $955 million in 2023. For schools that are charging $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year, multiple millionaire donors, if not billionaire donors to their institutions, and our tax dollars are going to these overrated universities that create left-wing nut jobs and protesters that don't even comprehend what they stand for in protest? No, that's it. Enough.
Six students, in accordance to the University of Penn policies, six students have been given mandatory temporary leaves of absence. So this is Penn, its first warning to these students to say you're suspended mm-hmm. from school and you may be kicked out. And so now there's also at the same time a threat for the students who are actually students, because remember, we've heard some of these people who are being arrested right now by police if they won't leave because it is private property. Some of them are students at other schools.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard that, too, that they're from Drexel or Temple.
Yep.
The Temple students probably don't want to do a protest on Temple because it's North Philadelphia and
right.
there are other factors there.
Yeah.
They're immunocompromised, okay? They can't go to North Philly. The air is not great up there.
Yeah.
So I guess three of the students, and including one who was locked out of her dorm, were reacting to these mandatory leaves of absence. So starting last night, they were locking some of these students out of their dorms.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also remind you, it's finals week.
So I was just going to say, little Johnny, why didn't you graduate and why did you flush down the, what's UPenn, like $70,000
yeah, probably.
A year or something like that?
Yeah.
Why did you flush the $70,000 a year down the drain that your mother and I worked very hard to send you there? But Dad, Mom, I wanted to protest. All my friends were doing it.
We coordinated via direct message on Instagram.
It wasn't my fault.
Uh-huh.
I'm immunocompromised.
Yep. I love this. This is great. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Some of the quotes from the Inquirer from Governor Josh Shapiro yesterday. Quote, over the last 24 hours, the situation has gotten even more unstable and out of control. More rules have been violated. More laws have been broken. That is absolutely unacceptable. It is past time for the university to act to address this, to disband the encampment, and to restore order and safety on campus. And this coming off of a week in which you have Sherelle Parker, Kevin Bethel, District Attorney Larry Krasner saying that the encampments in its current form should not be disbanded using force and that Penn should resolve the matter peacefully. They were more than relaxed. They allowed these kids every opportunity. And finally, they lay down the law here, thank God. And of course, if you're arrested for trespassing under Larry Krasner's watch, we know how quickly this will turn around. You know, they'll be booked, they'll be arrested, mugshot, fingerprint, back out on the street. Not that these are career criminals, and I'm not worried about a recidivism rate, but they'll go right back to protesting. These are not stupid individuals, even though they don't understand what they're protesting for. So maybe they are stupid because, you know, especially when you have the LGBTQ plus crowd saying queers for Palestine, queers for Gaza, trans for Palestine. We support Hamas. And we've obviously discussed a million times that, yeah, you take that over to the Middle East and your head will come back on a platter. So these kids will probably continue doing it. I still don't think we're out of the woods, though. I still think because these universities, even though they kind of scale back big time throughout the summer, there are a lot of kids that are here on you know, some sort of visa from another country, and they stay year-round. They live on the campus in the summer. I still think we will see a lot of this playing out throughout colleges. I don't think the university officials and police will be remotely as lenient and lax as they have been. I do think now that the precedent has been set, if you come back, you're going to get zipped immediately. But it would not surprise me in the least if we see this throughout May, June, July, especially at the Ivy League schools. I think the schools in the South set a great tone, but I still think here in the Northeast, out on the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest, these things will continue to happen. So we'll keep you updated. Dawn, if you have any developments, feel free just to jump in at any point. Just bulldoze me at any moment because I love talking about this stuff live in real time.
Well, I will say that maybe the police thought have Greg Stocker living in their heads.
Yeah, everybody does.
Because they started at 6 a.m.
Yes.
They started moving. You know, they were surrounding, and they actually started last night moving into the quad area. And then about a few minutes before 6, they were on the move. And then almost as if Greg Stocker's voice was in their mind. And boom, we start at 6 a.m.
Or perhaps Phil Almquist's voice.
We start at 6 a.m.
So these are not early risers, this group.
No.
So
well, no.
It was a rude awakening for them.
The police are like, guys, at 6 a.m., regular people need to go to work. Not everybody has the luxury of having their parents spend $70,000 a year on your free ride while you sit here and protest something you obviously don't understand.
Yep.
So get the hell up, because real people need to go work.
That is correct. I got to give a shout out to this guy who goes by the name of Rob Martinez. This story, if you want to read it, tremendous in Philly Mag, phillymag.com. Guy raises $46,000 to annoy University of Pennsylvania protesters. A person by the name of Rob Martinez organized a crowdfunding campaign on the GoFundMe platform. His goal? Maybe to raise money to provide humanitarian relief to people in Gaza. Nah. Evacuate family members from Gaza, as this Philadelphia GoFundMe campaign is working to do? No. He said he wanted to hire a band to play next to the encampment all day and night. Now music has long been a part of the protest movements, and indeed there have been drummers and other musicians participating in the University of Pennsylvania encampment. But Martinez wasn't going to use the band to join the protest. He was going to use the band essentially to protest the protest. protest. On the GoFundMe campaign page, Martinez explained that, quote, these protesters should be serenaded for their efforts, just as they have constantly serenaded my efforts to study for finals with a megaphone and a drum set. He said he would spend the money raised to hire a mariachi band.
Mariachi band, yeah.
Mariachi band to play continuously until all funds were depleted.
That's awesome.
Nice work out of that guy. See, you can put the internet to good use.
Sweet.
How about that?
I love it.
There you go. I guess he had a couple of different goals. First, it was $10,000, and then they got all the way up to $46,000. But we will keep you updated if there are any more developments or if it escalates beyond what we are currently witnessing in real time. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour. Donald Trump, his big court date in New York, will continue this morning after he wraps up his interview with us here on Kale and Company as court resumes, I believe, at 9:30 this morning in New York City. What happened yesterday with the Stormy Daniels hush money trial? We'll give you some quotes and some details as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next here on Kale and Company.
Be sure to follow Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
Is a bloom shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Oh yeah, it is indeed a beautiful day. Well, it's 52 and rainy, and it kind of stinks.
So it's not a beautiful day.
But it's a beautiful day when Ivy League Gen Zers get arrested, packed up, and shipped out. Welcome back in, Kale and Company. Nick Dawn and Greg. It's going to be a big show today. Cut Sheet 7:45. Donald Trump at 8:30. Sean Farish at 9 o'clock. And as we know, Donald Trump... So let me just explain this to you guys real quick. We're going to have about 10 minutes today with Trump. We're not going to have the chance to do 30 minutes and ask him 14 different questions. So our time will be limited. But we can't ask him about the Stormy Daniels case. We can't talk to him about it, the gag order, Judge Juan Merchan, but we can talk to Sean Farish about it. And he will do whatever Trump can't say coming up at 9 o'clock. But some of the details yesterday, this is just so ridiculous. The fact that you have a guy who has to be spending day after day, hours upon hours, in court for a sham trial and then can't really speak about it because he gets whacked for $1,000. Not that he cares about $1,000. But has the threat looming over him that he will go to jail if he violates the gag order and is found in contempt. So you have Stormy Daniels yesterday, and this is all by design. Keep him in a courtroom, keep him off the campaign trail, silence him, muzzle him, smear him and embarrass him. And, you know, ultimately the case won't get thrown out, I don't think. But I do think he'll be found not guilty. I think this is a ridiculous case, and there will be at least one person with common sense on that jury, and he'll be acquitted. But Stormy Daniels will wrap up... She wrapped up her 6 hours of testimony over the last 2 days between Tuesday and Thursday. We know they had the day off on Wednesday. And you have Trump coming out yesterday saying, quote, this judge is corrupt. He's a corrupt judge. This judge, what he did and what his ruling was, is a disgrace, which obviously Merchan denied the mistrial attempts from the Trump defense team. And Trump had to sit through yesterday. And again, the key word for me, at least the way I have viewed this testimony so far, relevance. There's no relevance to the alleged crime when you put Stormy Daniels up there and she's talking yesterday about how Trump did not wear a condom during their sexual encounter and her, quote, spanking him, which led to his attorneys requesting this mistrial. Trump comes out and says, I have to get back on the campaign trail. I'm not supposed to be here. We are so innocent. There's never been anything like this. And I think, Dawn, this is the most infuriating part for me is, you know, we live in a country where if people want to accuse you of something, you have the right to defend yourself and protect your name and defend your reputation. And obviously, you know, the court proceedings, the whole litigation process, it's adversarial in nature. And basically what you are doing here is taking away his ability to kind of fight back. So they can say what they want, but he has to remain quiet and can't violate the gag order. And of course, you have to think about the First Amendment with free speech and also the Fifth Amendment with the right not to incriminate. And, you know, at the end of the day, Trump does not have to take the stand. I'm sure he would like to. I'm sure they've advised him not to. But he has to just sit there and take it and then whisper in his attorney's ears and shake his head and say, that's a lie. I mean, there's just no credibility to anything Stormy Daniels has said. We're going on 18 years since this allegedly occurred, and her story has changed countless times. I think if you just look at this objectively, you're like, I can't take anything she says at face value.
Yeah, my sense is even as Trump's attorneys yesterday afternoon had asked again for a mistrial and Judge Juan Merchan again saying no, my feeling on this is the judge clearly messed up and knows that he messed up by letting Stormy Dan, you know, Stephanie Clifford on the stand, first of all, and then on top of it to let it go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end had that lame comment that he made this week where he said, well, you should have objected more. You should have made more objections. That, to me, was, first of all, it's absurd.
Right.
But second of all, that to me is the judge trying to somehow mitigate or say something that can be used in his defense in the appeals court.
Mm-hmm.
He messed up big time. And now McDougal, Karen McDougal, the former Playboy model,
yeah,
she was on the witness list. She's not going to testify now. In my humble opinion, she's a much more credible individual than the, you know, adult sex performer, porn star, whatever you want to call Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
This one, more, I think, a credible individual.
Yep.
And so this is a good thing that now she's not going to take the stand, and hopefully they just at least try to show where is the crime,
right,
and get to Michael Cohen, who can't wait for that, because that is a clown show in and of itself. He's not a credible individual.
That's correct.
Trump's team, I think, has done a fantastic job. Those three lawyers have done a great job of that cross-examination.
Yeah. And you talk about credibility with witnesses. You also have credibility with judges. Look at the stark differences between Judge Juan Merchan and Eileen Cannon in the classified documents case in Mar-a-Lago in Florida, where, you know, she is, and I get it, she's a Trump appointed judge, but just looking at the rule of law and one of the things that a judge is supposed to do, a judge is supposed to ensure that in that person's court that they preside over, male, female, doesn't matter, Eileen Cannon has to say, you know what, in my court, we are going to ensure that the defendant, Donald J. Trump, gets a fair trial. And she is, I think, following the rule of law, whereas Judge Juan Merchan is clearly a guy to me that is, I don't want to say corrupt, but he's, I mean, let's face it, he's backed by Biden donors, you know, the family connections. And the last thing I just want to write, because we got like 30 seconds left. Have you ever seen a witness posing for photos before or after being in court? Like, it looked like a photo op.
Circus.
Again for Stormy Daniels. Like,
yeah.
These are people that are trying to cash in on this. And oh, by the way, she already did cash in to the tune of $130,000 and violated the non-disclosure agreement.
And
so,
they got her to admit that on the stand.
Yeah.
As far as Judge Cannon, the only thing I'll say about it, she's a judge asking questions. The fact that she asked Jack Smith, the prosecution team in the Mar-a-Lago case, she asked them about the documents and the chain of custody, and they admitted in court that, in fact, that chain of custody was broken.
Yep.
That is huge, and that's why I believe we won't see that case again. It's indefinitely postponed.
855-839-1210. We'll get some news from Dawn to kick off hour number two on the other side. And also, Nikki Haley back in the news. We haven't heard much from Nikki. What's going on? Is she lying in the weeds? We'll give you the details, the latest report from the Wall Street Journal as we continue. Kale and Company, hour two is next.